Cross the Border is the name of this broadcast. I'm Nicholas, and we're going through the Bible here. My website is crosstheborder.org. You can also catch the current broadcasts at libertyarchives.com. Just look for the Cross the Border section. And you can hear the last 5 days broadcast right there on the flash players from that page. And over in the right-hand column, right next to the Cross the Border section on libertyarchives.com, you will see a subscriber area MP3s by date button. If you click on that, all of the broadcasts, all of the studies are available to you there. The folders open up, and you can select the folder for the book or the books that you want to study. Have access to those Bible studies there. Also, they're available. There's a listing there on my website, crosstheborder.org. You'll see a tab that says Bible Studies. If you go there, you'll see a listing. Also, take advantage and visit all of the pages on the website. Look at, view all the videos, and please do press the follow or subscribe button there on the website. It is a blog. And you'll get a password. Usually get those back to you within a day in an email. I'll give you a password so you can watch the chapters of the video there that are protected. And you can watch them there in high definition. We do have a lower definition on YouTube, so you can look for the YouTube channel there. If you know how to search YouTube, you just search for Cross the Borders, the name of the channel, I believe, or is it Nicholas Arthur? It's one of those. Anyway, I've got several. Prophecy Reality is another channel that I have the YouTube versions on for lower definition. So please do take advantage of that. And if the Heavenly Father, if His Spirit moves you to support this broadcast, well, you'll find a way to support it there. Either by supporting FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Liberty Radio Live, any of the websites there. It's all the same as for Cross the Border, because that's my work. That's my, as Paul made tents to support his own ministry and his own work, I have my own work to support my own ministry. And it is all listener supported, though. So, and I do work very hard. I'm no beggar here. Anyway, we're in 1 Kings, chapter 18, and very exciting, one of my favorite stories of the Bible, probably one of everybody's favorite stories of the Bible. What we have is we have a standoff here. We have the state-sponsored church called Baal Worship, yes, the state-sponsored church with all the state-sponsored preachers there, 450 prophets of Jezebel, the high priestess of the state church, Ahab, of course, the king or the president of the nation, sponsoring his own religion, as opposed to the worship of the one true God, the Almighty, the true king, the God of Israel. They have strayed away and decided to build a temple to a false god, the god of state, and which allows them or gives them license to commit sin. Now, what is the sin that they get license to commit? Well, it's adultery, sodomy, fornication, whatever. You know, it's like, you know, the homosexuals today or the sodomites today, they go to their god, the state, and they say, we want a license to get married like the lawful people. And of course, they have to cut themselves and dance and go through all their gyrations and make enough noise before the assembly and the lawmakers of their state and go through the courts and everything else, whatever it takes, and they get it. They eventually get it. And now we have the king up there going, I think it should be so. More wicked than the king before him. Who was more wicked than the king before him? And they just get more wicked and more wicked all the time. Now he wants to grant them a license to do that which is unlawful, because that's what state religion, state-sponsored religion, is all about. God in his Bible, he doesn't change. His law is always the same. He won't give us a license to get married to men, for men to marry men. He won't give us a license to commit adultery and get away with it. He won't give us a license to murder our children in the womb or even after they're born and get away with it. That mean God. We want a new God. One who will give us license to do what we want to do. That's what idolatry is really all about, people. That's what it's all about. You're not satisfied with the law of God because it prohibits you to indulge yourself at the expense of others, to indulge the lusts of your flesh, to commit adultery and murder and all other types of licentiousness. That's what it's all about. So here's the scene. You have the prophets of Baal with their high priestess Jezebel, Ahab, their king. They're on one side, and Elijah says, "Okay, let's see. You fix your sacrifice for your god Baal, and I'll fix my sacrifice for the Lord God Almighty, Yahuwah, Creator of the universe, and we'll see which one is real." And he says, "You guys go first." So they fix the sacrifice and they lay it on the wood. And the challenge is for their god Baal to light the fire himself and consume the sacrifice. So they dance all morning and chant and pray to Baal all morning. And about noontime, nothing has happened yet. Okay. And so Elijah begins to mock them. He mocks them and he says, "Cry aloud. Maybe your God can't hear you. Cry louder." He says, "For he is a God. Either he's talking and he can't hear you over his own talking, or he is in the privy." Here it says in the Authorized King James Version, it says, "Or he is pursuing." That's pretty nice language, isn't it? But you look at the Hebrew, it says he's in the private place. He's in the privy. Everyone knows what a privy is, don't you? Or he's in the privy. Perhaps he's sitting on the toilet and can't be disturbed right now. That's what Elijah's really saying. He's mocking them. Perhaps your God is busy sitting on the toilet. Or maybe he's on a long journey and he just is not available right now and you have to wait till he gets back. Or peradventure, he's asleep. Cry louder and he must be awakened. Come on. Cry aloud, he mocks them. So they cry aloud. They cry louder than ever. And they start cutting themselves with knives until blood is gushing out. I mean, these guys are demonically driven now. The spirits come to the surface and they start cutting themselves. The blood is gushing out and they're dancing around. They're gyrating like, you know, what do they call those breakdancer guys, and cutting themselves and gyrating around the altar. And they're doing this to mid-afternoon. And it came to pass when midday was past. And they prophesied until the offering of the evening sacrifice, all the way to evening. And there was neither a voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Nothing happened. And Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of Yahuwah, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces and laid it on the wood. And then he said, "Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." Now, he's going to even make it more difficult. You know, I mean, the only liquid they had over there where the prophets of Baal were was their own blood that they were cutting themselves and it was gushing out of them. So he says, "Now take 4 barrels of water and pour it over the sacrifice and over the wood, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And he said, okay, do it again. 4 more barrels. And they did it a second time. And it totally drenched the sacrifice, the wood. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. You got the picture here? And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Yahuwah, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, Yahuwah, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. Yeah, fire came down out of heaven. It fell. It consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, Yahuwah, he is the God. Yahuwah, he is the God. He is the God. That's what the people were saying. His name, he is the God. He is the God. And Elijah said to them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them and brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said to Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink. There is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and he looked, and he said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. So 7 more times, get up and go look. There is nothing. 7 times. And it came to pass on the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass, in the meanwhile, that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Chapter 19 and verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all of the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. But there's no fear in this woman at all. I mean, she says, I'm going to slay you, Elijah, like those 450 prophets that were slain. He said, let the gods do more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So she's saying, you're going to be dead by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. You know, the Almighty uses men. That's right. He uses men, ordinary, fallible men, who one minute can be riding high in the spirit of the Almighty, fearless, proclaiming his word, in the next minute being full of doubt and guilt, knowing, seeing that they're nothing without His grace, knowing that without Him, that they would be totally destitute. I've felt these highs and I've felt these lows. I can identify with Elijah here. He was just a man. I've never done anything like Elijah did, what we just read about. And he did that in the power of the Almighty. And you know, the power of the Almighty could empower me to do something like that one day or never. It doesn't matter. We do what we're called by Him when we're called to do it. But that doesn't mean the next day that we're not fearing and running for our lives. Oh, we all feel fear. There's no doubt about that. The fear of the Almighty, that's the good one. You know, that's the one that causes you to forsake your evil ways and to learn obedience. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom and understanding. If you don't fear God, if you don't fear Yahuwah, the Lord God Almighty, then you don't know anything because that's the beginning. Yeah, you're learning. You're a truther. You're ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And you have all this knowledge, but you don't know the truth. Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So anyway, and I know, you know, that fear, you know, when I look in my rear view mirror and that sudden fear comes upon me because there it is. There's one of their policy enforcers in the rear view mirror. I feel it, you know, I feel that sudden fear, the release of adrenaline in my blood that puts me on a heightened awareness. I feel it. We all feel it. But remember the Messiah, he said, fear not them that kill the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. And he gives me that peace that will sustain me through any fear of man. Yeah, I feel it. It's there. But I have to remain calm. He gives me that peace, that calm, that it doesn't matter. That fear and acting on fear, be not afraid. That's the way it's written in the Authorized King James Version in the Proverbs. It says, be not afraid of sudden fear. Yeah. What kind of statement is that? Be not afraid of sudden fear. Yeah, you feel it. That means you're going to feel it, but don't react to it. Be calm. And it's only by His Spirit that you can be calm. Because if it wasn't for His grace and His Spirit, I couldn't be calm. It's difficult to be calm when the fear of man or the fear of a situation or the fear of natural disaster or the fear of whatever comes upon you. You have to be calm and wait for instruction from Him. And sometimes, you know, that's what He's doing. He's Elijah here is running. Here it is. He just put down Jezebel's entire entourage, her entire state religion, had all her false prophets, the prophets of Baal slain, just threw down the entire state religion before all the people and had all the false prophets slain by the sword and cleansed the house of Israel of that wickedness and made a sacrifice there to the Almighty, which He sent fire down from heaven that licked up every drop of water, consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and even licked up every drop of water out of the trench from the sacrifice being drenched three times by four barrels of water each time. Now He's afraid of Jezebel. Jezebel killed a lot of people. She was a very wicked woman. Oh, she used her court, the court system of the government. Yes, she did. We have a story about that in the scripture. And we'll learn a little more about the way Jezebel used the law to do her wickedness and to take care of her enemies. And, you know, a part of this is because Elijah was hidden 3 years from Ahab and Jezebel. So now Jezebel's after. He couldn't find him for 3 years. This man had this hunker down, hiding mentality. It's hard to shake that, isn't it? It would be hard to shake it. So what does he do? He goes back into hiding. So Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, I'm going to kill you by tomorrow. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. He fled for his life. There's a time to flee. He came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah. So he went south and he left his servant there. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. You ever feel that? If your father was a wicked man, you know, all of you that are blessed that had godly fathers, well, you know, hallelujah, give thanks. But for all of the men, for all of those that chose a different way than their fathers, that started to follow after the Almighty, yeah, a lot of times we look in the mirror or we see our fathers and our actions, how we almost parrot them. We see the result, their imprint on our lives. All of us, because even the best of fathers, well, are fallible men. So he says, I'm no better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and he laid him down again. You're listening to Cross the Border. Well, we've got another session today, so stick around for that. We'll be back in a few minutes.